Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We continue our little topical sidebar examination into the life of Elijah. And this is coming out of what we saw in James. Remember the fifth chapter of James, where Elijah was used as an example of a faithful, of a righteous man, and how the fervent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much, as the scripture says. And so when you go to 1 Kings 17, you see an account about Elijah in the beginning of his life. He just appears. Okay? He appears out of nowhere. We don't know anything about him other than he was a Tishbite and he lived in the area of Gilead where the settlers were. He appears before King Ahab and he says, you know what? It's not going to rain and there's not going to be any dew. These years, I haven't emphasized that enough, these years except by my word. So he was telling the king from the get-go, this was going to last a while. Okay, well, you can imagine the response of the king. We'll see that later, okay? So the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, hey, you need to go. You need to hide yourself. I've got a place for you over by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. So he goes there, and God commanded the ravens to bring food to him, brought him meat, brought him bread, and he drank from the brook. Well, this was great and wonderful as long as the brook has some water in it, but then the brook dries up, right? Then the word of the Lord comes to him again. He tells him, go to Zarephath. And he said, there's a widow there that I've commanded to provide for you. And so that's interesting, too. We haven't talked about that yet. God commanded this widow, because when Elijah gets there, the widow doesn't appear to be too surprised. You know, something must have happened, because he approaches her and says, hey, will you give me a little water in a jar that I may drink? And she readily turns around and goes to get it. And then he says, oh, bring me a piece of bread. And so, you know, she didn't seem to be apprehensive. She didn't actually seem to be surprised. She was just out gathering sticks to build a fire. Well, we find out why she's building the fire. She's building the fire to where she can cook the last bit of flour that she has. She's got a little oil in a jar, a little flour in a bowl. Okay, so it's not much. She's going to make some bread for her and her son, and then they're going to die because that's the last for bread. Well, Elijah tells her, if you will give me that part right there, make a little bread cake for me, bring it to me first, then afterwards, you yourself and your son can eat, you'll be okay. You will not lack. And then we're told that they did not lack, okay, until the Lord sent forth provision for them when the rain came. And it said that she ate many days out of this. Now, verse 16, listen to this. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. So this widow woman believed the word of the Lord, believed Elijah, did what he said. Verse 17, now it came about after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick. And his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And so it appears to be that the idea is that he died. Now remember why and how Elijah is being used as an example in James. If we pray believing, if we pray the prayer of faith, by faith, then what might the Lord do? Okay? The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, accomplishes a lot. So far, Elijah has accomplished what? It hasn't rained. There's provision for him, for the woman, and for her son out of nothing, and it's continuing day by day by day. But now the son dies. Verse 18. So she went to Elijah. And listen to what she says to him. What do I have to do with you, O man of God? It's a question, right? I mean, what do I do? Why? I thought I've done everything. What is this? And she says this. You've come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death. Well, there's several things here across my mind related to this, folks. She thought that her son was being put to death and that it was that death was a judgment because of iniquity that she'd had in the past. And here's the man of God or someone who professes to be a man of God, the righteous man of God, the holy man of God. She's not quite sure yet. You're going to see why in just a minute. She's seen all this stuff. She's believing it. You know, the flour is always there. The water is always there. Everybody else is struggling. They have something to eat. But now her son's dead, and she thinks it's because there's holiness and righteousness afoot, and that God is punishing her for her iniquity in the past. Verse 19, Elijah said to her, give me your son. Then he took him from her bosom and carried him up in the upper room where he was living and laid him on his own bed. So he took Elijah, took the son upstairs. Apparently Elijah was living upstairs in the upper room. He had a little bed up there. He laid him on the bed. Elijah then, verse 20, called to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, have you also brought calamity to the widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die?" It's a question. He said, "God, have you done this? Are you bringing calamity upon this widow?" He didn't know. So he's inquiring. He didn't know if that's what had happened or not. Verse 21 says this, "Then he," Elijah, "stretched himself upon the child three times and called to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, I pray you, let this child's life return to him.'" So now we know that he is dead, okay? So he's saying, "Let this child's life return to him." It's really interesting. Lord, send him back into this body. He's departed from here. He's gone to you. Apparently, he knows that God has that because he's saying, send it. He wouldn't be asking God to send something that he doesn't control and he doesn't have. "Send this child's life to him." Verse 22, "The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived." Verse 23, "Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, 'See, your son is alive.'" What a declaration. Your son lives. Your son is alive. It wasn't a judgment of your iniquity in the past, but that iniquity, since you've cried before God, is forgiven you if you repent and confess. Look what she does next verse. Last verse, 1 Kings 17. "Then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth. The word of the Lord in your mouth is truth.'" She says, "I know that you're a man of God. I know that what you speak is truth." She believed, folks. She believed. So even if it was the kind of thing that her iniquity of her past had caught up with her, for lack of a better term, excuse me, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happened, but not from the initiation of God, the enemy himself. Sometimes the enemy will do this type of stuff, and God restores the life. Again, remember what happened right here. Elijah is just living, okay? He brought forth the word to the king, so there's going to be no rain. Then the Lord parks him over the side for a number of months, if not years, by a brook until that brook is dried. And then he comes to a widow woman where God has sent him for a number of months, if not years. They're just living. They're just surviving. They're laying low. The child dies. He seeks the Lord. He lays upon the child. The Lord hears the cry of Elijah and restores life. Folks, this is used as an example to us, for us, in the New Testament, in the book of James. People will say, "Oh, well, that was back then. God doesn't do that kind of stuff today." Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And this is being used as an example for how we should pray, what we should expect when we pray. Okay, the faithful, fervent prayer of a righteous man will accomplish a great deal. Let us pray in this way. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. As always, do pass the words about these times, okay? Share with one another. Show folks how to get on podcasts and things like that. Also, go to my webpage. It's just my name, dalemore.tv. And you'll see the daily podcast. You'll see a daily blog that I write, usually on a different portion of the scripture. Also, a weekly Bible study, which is also in a different portion of scripture. And you'll see a place there if you want to help support these times, that you're able to do that. And I appreciate it so much. See you later. Goodbye.